Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome everybody to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host Rob May. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday so far. Start of the weekend, I know everybody's looking forward to it, and I know this guy is. And we got the holidays coming up. Hopefully everybody's doing their last-minute shopping and not going to the mall. Stick to the online stuff. It's a hell of a lot easier. But joining me tonight, I'm a big fan of this guy. I've had a lot of fun with him for the last a very long time this year, and it's been great. And I'm happy to say that we have Mr. Neil Golden back on the show for tonight, his final show. Neil, how you doing today?
Very good, Rob. Glad to hear from you again.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, as I mentioned, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We've certainly, you know, covered a lot of different topics, and everyone has really, you know, learned a lot of different things, and it's cool, it's interesting, you know, and we love having you on the show. So, you know, we know that tonight is the last show, so let's get right to it, and you know, start with you know, your little disclaimer.
Oh, okay. Well, I think all investors should be aware that when they are buying stocks, that they're really buying risk, and so therefore, they should never invest with money they can't afford to lose. There's no guarantee when you buy a stock that it will go up in value. Just because something has happened in the past does not guarantee that under the same situations that it will happen in the future. And buyers should beware at all times because a lot of things can happen.
Very true. Now, before we get into the year of the market, I want to ask, right now, do people tend to go nuts with investing, or do they just hold on to their money and spend it on, you know, Christmas gifts and whatever else?
Well, December is the month where, you know, if you're lucky to work for a big corporation or something like that, you may get a bonus. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, and some people, instead of you know, going out and spending the money or using it to pay their Christmas bill, they plow the money back into the corporation and, you know, buy more stock in the company that they work for.
Mm-hmm.
So in December, you know, in the last part, yeah, that's what usually happens when people get bonuses for the company that they've worked all year long for and they've done a very good job, and the employer is rewarding the employee.
Right. Absolutely.
All right.
So Neil, now with it being the end of the year and, you know, your last show, you know, we've always asked you about the hot spots and what to invest in and how the market's doing, how it's going to do. So why don't you take us over a little recap of this past year and some of the things that have happened and some of the things that maybe we can expect for next year.
Oh, okay. Well, to begin with, last December, the market was pretty high, and as we started January of 2015, the market was going downward, and then by the end of January, it started going back up in February, and then it sort of peaked around, at least the Dow Jones Industrials peaked around 18,000, and more or less, it's been going back and forth between 18,000 and roughly 17,000 for the most of the year. Mm-hmm. It was going sideways. When it came to July, the market took a downswing from approximately July 1st all the way to the end of August, and then at that point it hit the low for the year in the sell-off, and that was around 15,800.
Mm-hmm.
For the end of August. And then in August, all it did was more or less set up to take off and go in a trending fashion. So by the end of September, the market started trending, and it trended all the way up to about November 4th, where it went over 18,000 again, And since then, it's mainly been going sideways ever since. And today is December the 17th. And today was a down day, and the market ended at 17,000, approximately 130 points. So based on this, the range for the year was mainly between, 18,000 and maybe 16,000. So that's maybe, that's about 2,000 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Averages. It really hasn't been trending, but it has been moving sideways. So my prediction for next year, looking at the global economy, that I'm expecting it to tank more if it does break out in any direction. I can't see why it would break to the top and go above 18,000 and hit maybe 19,000. I don't see that happening. But with all the turmoil in the world, especially because of the global economy, I just see, trouble for like multinational corporations having, better earnings the next year. I was surprised. I was looking at TV the other day, and all of a sudden they were saying the unemployment rate in Paris, France, is like at 50%. I'm saying, oh, wow, in the United States, the unemployment rate is only supposed to be, on average, about 5%. But if you ask Bernie Sanders, he would tell you in other communities it's around, 15 or, around 15 to 50%, depending on where you live. So considering that we're in a global atmosphere, I do not see the possibility for the market going up any time at all next year. And I think the trend will continue in a downward manner for most of next year.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. And like I was saying before, most professional traders, when they trade, they don't have much to lose anyway, because it's only a small fraction of their total worth that they have in the market. So most professional traders will not be taking heavy bets. They'll be on the sidelines, and they'll be all cashed out. So, getting back to your first question, what do people do with their yearly bonuses? Well, I would still say, keep it on the sidelines, let it grow until market conditions, would signal that the market is ready to go up again. I think it's going down before it goes up.
Now, how long into the year do you think next year would you say that the market would be going down still?
Well, I think at least until February. The way, if I were to predict it, it's probably going to be going down pretty soon. A lot of things, are sort of interdependent. I have never been good at dates. That's why, I just say let the market tell me, when it's all right again. But there's only one person that I know, and that was W.D. Gann. He could predict the date and practically the hour that a turnaround would occur. But since him, no one has really been able to do it. And if you do hear of a certain date, take it with a grain of salt. December the 22nd was supposed to be the end of the Mayan calendar, and the world was supposed to dissolve. Well, I don't think it's going to disintegrate on December the 22nd. Life will go on.
That's good news.
Yeah.
That's funny. So Neil, for everybody right now, then, that they're going to be holding on to their money. That's what you're basically, suggesting that we should do, right? Don't spend it. If you have the holiday bonus, just keep it, save it for a rainy day, because it's not getting, it's not going to be nice. It's not smart to do right now.
Right, because I expect the market to be going lower next year. Right. And if you bought it now, you would be losing buying at the wrong time.
So with that in mind, Neil, what else should people be caring about? What is the most important thing right now to you as far as assets and what your most important might be?
Well, in some ways it should have always been, maybe my health is my most important asset. And it's just a term that I learned, used, early, I think in my first accounting class I ever took. I'm not an accountant and I haven't lost my balance completely, but it was a term that you walked into class one day and the teacher asked, what is your most important asset? When you learn about assets and liability, and the answer is always, it's your health. And the reason why I picked this topic for today is because a lot of people, when I was young, I wasn't too concerned with happiness, getting married, having kids, or anything. I just, wanted to study business because I was looking for, I wanted to make a lot of money. And did that ever happen? Well, I would say no. I never got a job that paid me a lot of money, But I had to, over a period of time, redefine for myself, what success is, what it's all about. And I think in order to have a meaningful life, sometimes it is concerned with, helping other people handle with their situations and helping them, better their, their life. So in some ways, I get a lot of satisfaction out of doing these programs. So I'm sort of grateful for that.
Absolutely.
And that's only, one of the measures. There are other things, and I find that as I'm growing older, I'm becoming more mellow and mellower about the things that have happened. And in some sense, I'm getting, happier by living longer. So in that sense, they are right. When I was in my early 20s or 19 or 18 and they were saying health is my most important asset, well, that didn't change me at all. I just kept on doing the things I was doing, but now I have to pay attention to what I eat, how late I stay up, and try not to drink too much. in a sense, my body talks to me, and when it does, I have to listen. Another good example of this would be, professional sports players. They turn pro in college at the age of 20, and by the time they're 40, they can no longer be professional players. Kobe Bryant of the L.A. Lakers, he says he's going to retire this year. And then recently there is a lady ice skater. She's retiring. She's around 35. So at that age, 40, that most for professional athletes, they have to find something else to do. And if you were to take a survey of most Americans, they would say, I think the results would be that at the age of 50, that's when they more are concerned about their wealth and their health than they were at a younger age. And then they, try to start figuring out how to retire. And at the age of 50, well, that's way too late to get into the retirement game or thinking about saving your money for those purposes. So, the other thing I would like to emphasize, if you're in your 20s, well, start saving your money now because people are living longer. And because of this, they're going to need more money. The average age now is probably pretty close to 90.
Right.
Well, although, I mean, for Americans, I think it's in the 80s somewhere,
Sure. I mean, the funny thing is that people are living longer, but it seems like a lot of people are also working a lot longer.
Very true. They say now people should work until their 70s. Well, some people can and some people can't. And one of the things that I'm told will be in the future will be euthanasian places where people can go at a certain age if they feel they are
right.
too old and just wrap it up legally,
mm-hmm.
So that's a thing in the future. Of course, there are no centers like that in America, but eventually I'm told that there will be. So... Yeah,
crazy. It certainly is something. There's something to be said about what you kind of learn over the course of your life and your career, right? What's the value?
What is the value, and why did you worry so much, and why was it so important? When you give way to old age, and then you start forgetting things and misplacing things, and it's something that college really doesn't prepare you for. But as I said, people are living longer, and there's now a whole generation, like I said before, that in the next election, the number of people over the age of 65 will be much greater than the people that are just teenagers in this country. So that will have a dramatic effect on the next election if young people decide to vote.
Right. Very true.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say about that? Why do you think people are, young people are having issues with voting? Why would you? What do you think the headedness comes from?
Well, there's a disinterest in it, and like I said once before, nobody actually represents youth. Most congressmen in Congress, they're either representing, old people have a vote, corporations have a big vote, and the average American citizen, it's middle class, has, no representation at all as far as Congress goes. And corporations are always for, less taxes.
Okay.
And there aren't enough young people out there to support the older people who are getting older and no longer can work. So, I think in a lot of ways the country is becoming, very, very divided.
Right.
It's not like there's a war going on. And young people, just aren't represented in Congress at all, but yet they're expected to get jobs, which is, impossible without a college education.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they even have to pay for college and then get out of college and work for Starbucks and pay off their loans, in the sense that there's not much hope among them. So
mm-hmm.
they're sort of disinterested, and they, like to just stay at home and let their parents support them. So that's a huge problem that we're facing, I feel, as the, middle class is shrinking and unable to afford for, medical care in that sense.
Sure. Well, what do you think is some sort of solution to this? Do you have any idea what you would do or what you would say is the best thing for it?
No, only thing I can do is knock on wood and say that I'm very lucky. I have a mom that's like 92 years old, but she's pretty well taken care of. So, it's just a matter of how much time that one person can devote to the care of another.
Right.
So other than that, I have no solution in general for what or how, the situation could be treated. I just know that you know, we take it one day at a time and see what I'm confronted with the next day, and hopefully we can both get through it.
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, I have no solutions for, you know, the ills of society. I know in the past, people with a lot of money, they have their ideas. I know Henry Ford has his ideas. He built a city or whatever and tried to get people to follow his rules and, you know, regulations. It didn't work. Other people have tried the same thing. It never works as easy as it is, you know, sounds.
Right.
So that's one area that I can, you know, really never touch. You know, it's a has to be a united area. I mean, united area, like they say, when raising a kid or a child, he belongs to the village he lives in. His parents can't do it by himself. So
right.
He needs, you know, the whole project and the whole community, you know, to step in and help out where they can. And maybe that's the best solution for older people, too.
Sure. And and Neil, I love asking you this question because I know that you typically don't like to answer it. But presidential election coming up next year, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show, you know, at some point throughout the year. But I'm curious to know where you're going with that.
Same thing I said 2 weeks ago. I just like to hear Bernie Sanders talk. You know,
it hasn't changed for you.
No, it hasn't changed for me at all. That's
all right.
You know what he says. You know, I feel that young people are the future of the country, and sooner or later, mm-hmm. They will take over, and I'm gladly going to give them that opportunity.
Sure, sure.
Well, and they'll do a better job than my generation.
Did I? We'll see. We can only see. What did I ask you previously about your thoughts on Donald Trump and what it would be like to have him as a president?
I'd rather not really comment on Donald Trump. You know, he's still a very popular person. There's really no way, you know, when you ask what are the qualifications to be president, I'd have to flat out tell you there are no qualifications. You know, it's just a person with certain ideas getting out there, selling his ideas, and then taking charge and try to move the country. So, you know, maybe he'd be a good one, maybe he would be a bad one. You know, personally, would I vote for him? Well, mm-hmm. I'm not even going to answer that question.
Right.
But like I said, I like to hear Bernie Sanders talk.
Yeah, I find that really, you know, really interesting. You know, the I mean, obviously the election time is a very fascinating time, I think, in every nation's history. You know, just the idea behind it. You know, the different characters at this point, in the way that the media presents everybody, it's hysterical to me just how, you know, you find out you really do create your views on who you want the president to be, I think, based off of the way that they are portrayed in the media.
Yeah, I have worked with a lot of people that have always been concerned about, you know, what the tax rate is, and they didn't
right.
want to work overtime because the government would be taking more taxes out, but yet still they were making good salaries, and I've really never based it, my thing on how much I could save in taxes. But it's more or less about the good that can be done, you know, by fixing, you know, roads and bridges and, you know, letting people go to school and become educated and make sure
yeah.
that kids, you know, are eating breakfast in the morning and that kind of stuff so they can bring out the best in them. So what I find is that a lot of people, you know, of course, you know, if they had $1 million to spend every year, they would. But
mm-hmm.
That's why this week I wanted to talk a little bit about this guy called Andrew Carnegie.
Okay.
Some people think he was a robber baron, but other people think that he did some good things. And one of the good things he did, first of all, who was he? Well, He lived approximately from 1835 to 1919, but what he's most famous for is, I guess, being the founder of U.S. Steel in, was it Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that eventually steel would replace iron, because steel was much stronger for heavy equipment.
Right.
So he put all of his time and energy into that and became quite successful. But one of the main things he did was in the United States, he sort of built 3,000 libraries. And in the city that I live in, there's several of the libraries he built. And the reason why they were important to me is that after, you know, I graduated from college, in the evening after work, I'd go to the library and just look at the newspapers. Never really read the articles, but I would always look at the headlines.
Uh-huh.
And see what was going on. And over a period of time, I found that to be very, very beneficial to me.
Yeah.
And certain of my friends that took advantage of the information that was found in, you know, just looking at newspapers every day.
Uh-huh.
So I have to give him a lot of credit for what he did, in a sense that they said over his lifetime he gave away about $350 million, and then he saved about $125 million and just donated it to, I guess, you know, various schools and colleges that are named after him and research projects.
Uh-huh.
But one of his things is he felt, and this was sometime in the 1800s, that he only needed about $50,000 a year to live on, and then he thought that the rest of it should be used for the social betterment of mankind
mm-hmm.
and used for good purposes. So that was his belief, and there's another belief that sort of struck me. He felt that a person should spend about one-third of their life getting educated, another third of their life working, and then the last third of their life giving away their money and doing good. That has really struck a deep chord in my memory, and I feel that's a, you know, pretty good way to living your life. You know, if you went to school up to the age of 30 and then worked from 30 to 60, and then after 60, if you had enough money to just think of all the good causes you can do with it, because you know, it would better the you know, humanity. As you know, people are going to bed every night starving. Other people have diseases that can be relatively cured, you know, with simple procedures in other parts of the world.
Right.
So it was his philosophy that has struck me the most among those in American history that have made a lot of money and done good things with it.
Well, it's certainly, you know, very honorable and probably very, I mean, obviously very rare in this day and age.
Yeah, you know, I remember Ronald Reagan, he was talking about the trickle-down
uh-huh.
theory where the money would trickle down from those who had it to where it was needed. But that really didn't happen. So, you know, there is a revolution going on in America at this point, but it's a revolution of words and not of guns. So right now it's needed, and it this could be a very critical turning point, you know, in United States history, when you add in things like, you know, global warming and
sure.
health issues that, you know, keep cropping up all over.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, unfortunately, we have run out of time for tonight's episode. Again, I want to thank you so much for coming on and doing this extended series with us. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show, and I know that all of our listeners have truly enjoyed it, and I hope that, you know, we can get you back on, you know, sometime next year. It'd be great to have you back.
Well, I would look forward to it, Rob, and I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I feel like in some ways I've created some kind of karma, so feel that maybe something good can come out of this.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, good luck to you this coming year. Happy holidays, happy new year, and we're going to talk to you soon, I hope, all right?
Okay, I wish the same for you. Merry Christmas
all
and
right.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. All right, take care. And from everybody here at CMC Radio, guys, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Take care, everybody.